It's your time on Her Radio. Be a part of the show. Make your comments, ask your questions by email. Ask her at radiomd.com
or by calling
877-711-5211. Time to ask her.
All right. This is Dr. Pam Peek. Michelle's off today. Welcome to Ask Her. It's your time on Her Radio. You've been asking us questions. We've been picking the ones we think you might want to hear some answers to, and they're good ones today. Let's start out with insomnia. How can I cure insomnia? I'm not about the word cure, but I think we can learn to manage it. I bet a lot of you don't know how serious this issue is of sleep deprivation. No matter what its cause, insomnia is the most common sleep complaint among Americans. According to the National Sleep Foundation, 30 to 40% of adults say they have occasional insomnia, and 10 to 15% of Americans say they have trouble sleeping all the time, not just here and there, but all the time. That can't be right. Oh, no. And when it strikes, gosh, you know, a lot of people go running immediately to grab something from their doctor or, you know, from the pharmacy to try to take care of it. But oh, gosh, how do you do this? Well, there are a lot of natural ways to help yourself through this. Number one, let me just tell you right off the bat, honey, it's stress. Stress is the one that's really going to nail it big time. How do you go to bed at nighttime, especially as a woman, when you've got a mental Cuisinart chopping on high in your brain all night? It's impossible to fall asleep if stress hormone is too high. Listen up. Did you hear me? That means anything you can do to de-stress, to calm down, to allow your stress hormone, which is called cortisol, to fall below a specific threshold in your body, that's what you need to be doing. So, what can you do? Well, first of all, turn off the TV and, for that matter, all the other appliances in your bed. That means all the screens. All of that excess light is keeping you up at nighttime. Plus, what are you watching on TV? You know, Criminal Minds before you go to bed? Oh, great. So now you're not going to be calm at all. You're all razzed up. You don't want to do that. Instead, you want to just, you know, exercise early, get that physical activity in sometime during the day, because believe it or not, it's got a residual effect. It'll actually help you with your sleep. So whether you did your workout first thing in the morning or sometime during the day, but, you know, it's a little difficult to do it right before, you know, you go to sleep at nighttime. For most people, it tends to rev them up too much, and it's difficult. Doesn't mean it's for everybody. I mean, some people it does work for. Mass majority of people can't do that. So try to exercise sometime during the day, because it really, really helps. Researchers found that women who exercise at a moderate intensity for at least 30 minutes each morning, 7 days a week, had less trouble sleeping than women who exercise less or later in the day. So it's interesting. Morning exercise seems to affect body rhythms that affect sleep quality. So please get up, assume the vertical, and move. And try to keep all of your slumber surroundings tranquil. You know, wear your little jammies in bed, be comfortable, you know, in your birthday suit if that's what works, but it's got to work for you. All right, don't let your bedroom get too hot or too cold, because sleep is going to be disrupted when that happens. Make your room dark. Dark, dark, dark. It's very important. And turn off all those screens and lights in there. A good mattress. You spend a third of your life on your bed. So come on, invest in a decent mattress. It gives you good support too. And pillows that support your neck and your head. And filter any unwanted sounds. If you have to use a white noise machine, all of this stuff really works. I'm telling you, just saying. And how about warm milk? You can put a tasty spin on your grandmother's natural insomnia remedy by sipping a little warm milk before you go to bed. Almond milk is great. I use that all the time. It's an excellent source of calcium, which also makes more melatonin, which helps you fall asleep. A little domino effect there that works in your behalf. Sleepy time snacks. So the best sleep-inducing foods include a combination of protein and carbohydrate. And, you know, a very simple thing. A little tablespoon of peanut butter on half a banana. We're out cold. How about a whole wheat cracker with a little bit of cheese? That works too. So, you know, again, if you're having trouble and maybe you're even hungry, that's a great way to go. Magnesium plays a key role in your sleep. Please make sure to get enough of it from green leafy vegetables, wheat germ, pumpkin seeds, and almonds. Oh boy, magnesium's very, very important. Lavender oil. I use this all the time. It's very calming and can help encourage sleep in some people with insomnia. Valerian root is a great tea that you can use, and you can buy it just about anywhere. So there you have it, A to Z on insomnia. So catch up on your Z's, will you, for crying out loud? Now let's go to this issue. Somebody out there in her land said, what is the best way to stop a shopping addiction? Well, this isn't funny for a lot of people. This is like a real thing, this shopaholism. And that means, you know, people who are constantly spending over budget, they're compulsively buying. They're buying when they don't need anything. It's a chronic problem. It's a continuous problem. And shopaholics, just like addicts in general, will hide their purchases because they don't want their significant other, other people to know what they've just done. And they also, you know, have secret credit card accounts, and they could really rack up a huge amount of money in debt. There's a vicious cycle that goes on. They'll take their purchases back because they feel guilty. That guilt triggers another shopping spree. So you're on to a vicious cycle. It impairs relationships. It's not uncommon to see a lot of impairments in relationships, whether it's friendships or your partner in life from excessive spending and shopping, because there's so much deception and debt and emotional and physically charged, you know, arguments and hurt that goes on. And guess what? There are clear consequences. It's called debt. And this can also sometimes lead to lots of problems with your mood. So shopping or spending money is a result of what? Well, sometimes you feel angry, depressed, anxious, or lonely, and you shop. Having arguments with others about one shopping habit sends you into a spiral. You just go on out there and do it again. And these are behaviors that signal a serious problem. When you feel lost without credit cards, good grief, buying items on credit rather than cash, describing a rush, a feeling of euphoria. Wow, what's that about? So you need help, and there's plenty of help out there, and you need to be able to seek support. And there's great resources out there to be able to help you with this too. Spenders Anonymous, Debtors Anonymous, online support is everywhere for this. But come clean. And there are simple things you can do, like getting rid of your credit cards, avoiding clearance aisles, and shopping with other people, or putting real constraints on that by getting the appropriate people to help you with that. That's so terribly important. So take it seriously. It can also lead to hoarding, which is another big time problem associated with obsessive compulsive disorder. And our last question is, what's the leading cause of death for women today? Da-da-da, here it comes. It's not cancer, ladies. For all women, it's heart disease. Then cancer, stroke. And guess what? If you are out there and you're thinking you don't get diabetes, well, guess what? Diabetes is number 7 for all women out there. And this is followed by other issues that have to do with your lungs, dementia, and other heart issues. So please remember, take it to heart. It's heart disease. We've been talking about insomnia, and we've been talking about shopping addiction and what's the leading cause of death for women today. Thanks for your questions on Ask Her for Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson. Continue to listen to Her Radio. It's the best. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and stay well.